Well, good morning, church. Hopefully everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving time. I did not forget the turkey this year. So things went smoothly. All sides were accounted for. Desserts were partaken and naps were done. Amen. Isn't that pretty much the wrap-up of the day? So as one of Mr. Sid would like to say, it's a day to do what you're not supposed to do. We eat too much and then sleep. That sounds like a perfect day to me. But yes, it is a time of being together. And now we go past Christmas, past Thanksgiving, and we prepare for Christmas. And next thing you know, it'll be New Year's. So it's basically 2019. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Now rush it. That's right. One thing at a time. One thing at a time. Well, the scripture for today, as we prepare for Advent, which is next week, I would like to start with, I'm going to do a series for this coming month where we talk about this birthday that we're going to celebrate. And so in preparation of that, the scripture today, I want to read from the beginning of Mark. The beginning of Mark, the first verse through the eighth. And Mark opens up and he takes it from a place that I would like to start from, is where he's introducing us to John the Baptist. And of course, John was trying to prepare the people for the coming of the Messiah. And so let's look to Mark verses 1 through 8. And it reads as thus: "The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.' And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: 'After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" Amen. "Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him." Father God, we thank you once again. We come to you at this time of worship and fellowship. We ask now that you just open our hearts and open our minds, that we may receive the message that you have for us this day. Father, I ask that you consecrate me by the power of your grace so divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and let my will be lost in thine. It's in the wonderful and matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Are you prepared? Are you prepared? Yes, that is the question, right? Loaded question. Well, this time of year, everyone is busy being prepared, getting ready. It's Christmas time. And although there's many reasons to celebrate, not Black Friday, not the chance to buy something that we didn't really need because it's 50% off, even though that's a good thing, but it's a time to celebrate the coming of our King. It's a time to celebrate the birthdays among all other birthdays. And I'm a birthday guy. You know, I take the whole month to celebrate mine. So, as so it should be, We'll give Jesus the whole month to celebrate his. But something funny happens around this time of year, preparation. And if you have kids or you know someone with kids, then you see it in them in particular. Kids, they make a list, right? They make a list of things that they want to receive because they know this day is coming where they're going to have a good chance of getting it. So they make a list. But then on top of that, something even more peculiar happens. They begin to do things that you ask them to do, right? They become kind of obedient and nice. And maybe if they're really getting prepared, they start volunteering to do things. I'll help clean. I'll do the dishes. Look at my bed. I made it all by myself. So why are they doing this? Well, we know why. Because they're preparing themselves to receive the gifts that they have put on their list. It's not a strange thing. It's not coincidental. It's all part of the plan. And now in my house, you know, I have a little bitty one, so they're not quite in the game. So they still don't listen. But we do celebrate this idea of Jesus is coming. So we say, happy birthday, Jesus, right? Happy birthday. And there's no kids in the room, right? Okay, so. And so, you know, when they see the little Santa Claus guy, I say, oh, don't worry about him. I'm Santa. I'm Santa in this house. We don't have to eliminate the middleman. You can come straight to the source. You want to be nice? I'm your guy. Look no further. But many of us, in the same way, we have things that we want, right? Maybe little things. We don't make a list necessarily. Or maybe some do. But we tell our loved ones, you know, our spouse, whatever, yeah, this is what I want. If you can, you know, get this for me, get that for me. And they're more gestures of love, right, than that we're necessarily expecting to get these things, because if we really want things, we can get them ourselves. So it's a little different. But there are things that we do want in life beyond material things, right? We want God to show up in our life in a more deeper way, in a more profound way. So we do have a list, a prayer list, right? An emotional list. I want to be a better person list. And so that list, there are still things we need to do to prepare ourselves to receive the things on our list. We may be wondering, well, how come God hasn't done this? How come he hasn't opened that door? Well, maybe he's preparing you. Maybe you're not ready for those things. There's a preparation that must take place. And so as we look in the scripture, we find John the Baptist trying to prepare the people to receive the coming of the greatest gift this world would ever know, the coming of their Savior. Now is finally the time. And he's out in the middle of the desert. He's not in the city. He didn't go to where everybody was and post up and make a sign and sell his wares. He didn't do that. He wasn't in the marketplace to make money in exchange. He was out in the middle of the desert, where they would have to come to him and hear his message of repent, confess your sins, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And what a strange way to go about spreading your message, to isolate yourself. The Bible says he ate locusts and wild honey. And maybe today we might think of him as like a vegan or something, right? Kind of a strange guy. But he saw what was coming. He knew his purpose. He knew it wasn't about him. It wasn't about him coming to the people and making them impressed with something. It was for them to come to him and forget what they had, forget who they were, for the kingdom of God was at hand. And so today, I want to look at Christ's coming and how in our preparation to receive him, that we look at three roles that Christ plays out in his coming. And these three roles, what John was trying to prepare us to receive. And the three are being a prophet, being a priest, and being a king. The prophet, the priest, and the king. And today I want to deal with the prophet. See, the prophet, simply put, is someone that hears a word from God. And he is designed to go and speak that word to the people. So John, in this instance, is a prophet, plain and simple. You may say, well, Pastor, I'm not a prophet. What do you mean? My tongue's not on fire for the Lord. I don't walk around here just talking in tongues and healing people. That's not the role of the prophet. The role of the prophet is to hear what God is saying, to listen to him and be obedient. Now, we may hear what God is saying in our lives, but maybe we don't act on it. Maybe we don't do what God is telling us to do. We may hear him talking, right? We see somebody and someone at work, and we know they're going through some issues at work and something's happened to them, and it may incline ourselves. We may feel that inclination to go over and say something, be a word of encouragement, but we don't. We say, well, I don't want to get mixed up in their life. That's a little too personal. We hear God, but we don't always listen. You know, when we're about to do something and maybe something inside of us says, no, don't do that. That wouldn't be right now. We hear it, but we don't always listen, right? So just as in the Bible, they hear, but they don't always listen. And John was trying to tell the people simply what to do. I always look at Moses. God called him. He heard what God was saying. The bush is burning, and there's Moses. And Moses says, no, it's not my time. I'm not your guy. It's got to be somebody else. If I go back to Egypt, they'll arrest me. I'm a murderer. But God says, no, you are the one. You are who I'm choosing. And when God chooses you to do something, he's going to enable you to do the things you need to do to get it done. That's how he operates. So we may hear, but we don't always listen. You know, I grew up in a household with three sisters, and so I've been around women my whole life. And women are great communicators, right? Amen. Women are excellent communicators. And I think a part of that is because they get so much practice, because they talk all the time, right? They enjoy talking to one another, to me, right? And that's a blessing. It's a beautiful thing. And so growing up, I developed this skill of listening to what they're saying. And as I got older, I kind of developed this idea of hearing and not necessarily listening. See, I can hear what they're saying, and my poor wife knows this very well, that you'll be talking and I'll hear you and you say a lot of things and I can keep the conversation going, you know. Oh, is that right? I hear you. I got you. Yep. Mm-hmm. Sure. We'll do that. No problem. Mm-hmm. I hear you. But then what happens? A couple days later, hey, honey, remember we're supposed to go to that thing tonight? I told you the other day. Oh, right, of course. I remember now. I don't remember because I wasn't listening. But it's okay because she's a forgiving wife. So everything always works out. But that's how we do. We don't always hear. We don't listen. We may hear some of it, But listening means actually following through, doing something about it, being accountable to what you have heard, right? Being on point, being on task. And so the prophets throughout the Bible, the prophets who God spoke to, they heard, but they also listened. Now, not all. Some took a little nudging, like Jonah. Jonah heard, but Jonah didn't listen, did he? God said, go to Nineveh. Jonah went the other way. God had to swallow him up by a whale and spit him out on the shore. Now will you listen, Jonah? I hear you, Lord. I hear you. Yes. So God speaks, but that's what a prophet is. A prophet hears and he listens. He does what God inclines him to do. The original son of God, we know him, was Adam, right? And the Bible always comes full circle with things. God first put Adam down, and Adam was the first prophet. He was the first of all three, the first prophet, the first priest, the first king. He had domain over all the world. God spoke to him directly. He didn't need to give him signs and figures. He just spoke to him. And Adam heard, but Adam didn't listen all the time, did he? No, simply don't eat the fruit, Adam. You can do everything else, just don't eat the fruit. Here you are in the garden, perfect place, absolutely content. But he didn't listen. And oh, we could pass judgment on Adam. What's wrong with him? Why didn't he listen? He had everything. But then I bet we could look at our own lives. We could look at times in our lives where things were seemingly okay. Or at least people on the outside would look at us and say, wow, he's got it all. They've got everything they need. Their life must be perfect. But it's not, is it? On the inside, we wrestle. We struggle. We beat ourselves up. We always say we need this, we need that. It shouldn't be this way. It should be another way. We're never just satisfied. It's hard for us to just be at peace, to be settled, to be content. And so what do? We try to make other things happen. Even if God blocks the way, we say, no, I really want this. We don't listen. And we disobey again and again and again. But God knew this in his plan. He knew this. Once Adam did the original disobedience, and allowed sin to come into the world, and something we're all just born into. We didn't ask for sin, we were born into it. But God knew this. And so he prepared a way. He knew what it was going to take. He knew that he would have to come down, that he would have to walk among us, to be in the flesh, for us to understand and truly pay the sacrifice. And you look at the sacrifice. Where else does Jesus come in? So many times in the Bible, just like with Adam, just like with Moses, where he speaks to the prophets. But God in each of those situations is not fulfilled because he has not come yet. Because he's not there in full. I think of Abraham. And we all supposedly come from Abraham. God blessed Abraham. Why? Because Abraham was righteous, because he had faith, because he believed in God. And God told him that through your offspring, through your seed, all the nations of the world will be blessed. Because he knew that. And when we read that now, people interpret that as, oh, well, Abraham was the father of all nations. But see, if Abraham didn't bless the nations, because Abraham died. What God is speaking to is himself. He's speaking to Christ. He was going to bless the nations through the seed of Abraham. That through Abraham's lineage, through David, through Jesse, through Joseph, was going to come Christ. And through Christ, he was going to bless all of humanity through the end of time. And so when we see even Isaac, Abraham's son, his first seed, his only son. And God telling him, I'm going to bless all the nations through your seed. And he's thinking, this is the blessing. Isaac is going to be the blessing. And what does God do? I want you to take Isaac and I want you to kill him. I want you to sacrifice him on the altar. And what does Abraham do? He obeys. He says, okay, I'll take him up on the hill. I'll set him up on the altar. And he prepared to kill his only son. And God said, wait, hold your hands steady. Don't kill your only son. I see through your act of just going to do it, I see your love for me. How great a love is that, that you would kill your only son just for me. And in that moment, he's setting the table. He's setting the stage for Christ to come, so that when Christ came, his only son, and he died for us, that again it would prove his love for us, that he would willingly sacrifice his son to wipe away the sins of this world. Oh, if we can't be thankful for that today, if we can't understand what Christ has done, the plan that God had for us in this season, as we prepare for the coming of the King. Are you a prophet? Do you hear what God is saying? Are you listening to what he's saying in this time? With so much distraction, with so much going on, getting ready to prepare for gifts, prepare for foods and for dinners. Are we preparing ourselves to receive what Christ is doing in our lives? Isaiah, one of the greatest of prophets, who heard God and wrote down and blessed the nation of Israel in a mighty way in a time of their great captivity in Babylon. And he writes to them, and he wrote this trying to encourage them, trying to show them that there was something else to hold on to, that God hadn't forsaken and left them. And he told them in Isaiah 61, he says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners." Now see, Isaiah was writing that to the children of Israel in captivity, trying to show them to have hope, that God has not forgotten you. But if we look at the scripture, it really wasn't for them. Because what happened? Isaiah was saying, you're going to be set free. God's going to set you free out of this captivity. He's going to give you your own land again, and you're going to be in a year of jubilee where all debts are paid off. But that didn't happen. That didn't happen. They remained in captivity. Generations died in captivity, were born in captivity. So this is not what Isaiah is saying. It didn't come to pass. But what is he saying? Again, he's setting the stage for the coming of the true Savior, the true Spirit that God was going to bring down, the Spirit that was going to proclaim the good news to the poor. Oh, you know who he was. He was sent to set free, to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom to those who are captive to this world, captive to sin. He was speaking of Jesus. See, God was planting the seed, paving the way for those who were listening. Not just hearing, but listening, doing. He was saying, I'm sending myself. I'm coming down to be with you, to reign with you, so that you would understand truly what it means to be with me. So in this season of preparation, the season where we get ready to find the sales, clip the coupons, make sure we understand what's on the kids' list and check them off, those loved ones we're going to shop for. Every time we swipe a card, let us prepare our minds to be the prophet, to hear what God is saying, to act on what God is asking us to do. the small things, the little things, the compassion in our hearts. Don't let the season outrein what God is trying to say in our hearts and in our minds. You are the prophet. You are the prophet God has called. God is talking to you today in this season as we get ready to receive the coming of our King. Prepare ourselves and be the prophet. Be the prophet. Amen. If there is one